We're looking at the blessings of believing. Many Christians say they believe the Lord, but when they come to a crossroads, when there's something wrong, and all of us have trouble, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. So take it to the bank. We're going to have some trouble. But praise the Lord, he didn't stop there. He said, take heart. I've overcome the world. And so tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit about what you do when you hit those hard times in your life. You are going to hit some hard times. Life isn't always easy. And when those hard times comes, what do you do then? So I want to read for you Psalm 34, verses 1 through 10. David, and I'm going to talk about what's going on in David's life. David's having a very difficult time as he writes this. He says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Most of us have lived long enough now to remember the musical Oklahoma. And there's a song in that musical that says, oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a wonderful feeling. Everything's going my way. But what do you do when life isn't all going your way? What do you do when it's not a beautiful morning and you've got trouble up to the gills? You're heading into the frying pan and you know it's not going to be pleasant. Folks, that's what we're talking about tonight. David is in trouble. David trusted God. As you read the Psalms, every one that David wrote, you see trouble and you see praise. David wrote in Psalm 56, verse 3, when I'm afraid, and we all go through that from time to time, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, and I am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And in Psalm 62, verse 8, David wrote, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. And another time in Psalm 91, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Psalm 34 is the one we're going to be looking at mostly tonight. And David says in Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Now that word blessed means extremely happy. Folks, the Lord can keep you happy in the worst times of your life. When I read these things and I think about these things, I always think of Paul and Silas in jail. They're preaching for the Lord. They're arrested, thrown in jail. They're whipped and put in the stocks. And what are they doing at midnight? They're praising the Lord. They're singing hymns to the Lord. And all the prisoners are hearing. And what happens? God moves. God moves in the praises of his people. Yes, we're going to have trouble. But at those times in our life when we have our share of troubles, if we'll just praise the Lord and simply believe him, I don't have to work up anything. As I mentioned this morning, in the Word of God, Old and New Testament, we have over 7,000 promises. Those promises will deal with every situation the Lord's ever going to allow into our lives. And as we study those promises, as we know those promises, God's going to bless. Now, other sermons we've talked about, we looked at Psalm 32, verse 2. It says, "Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit." Folks, that's talking about most everybody in this room. You have trusted Christ as your Savior. There may be one or two. I don't know everybody's heart, but most of us have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are blessed. No matter what happens in our lives, good, bad, or indifferent, God's given us other promises, and we'll talk about them just in a minute, but He works it all for our good. And if we can keep our mind on those promises, when trouble comes, guess what? You'll be able to praise the Lord. You'll be able to bless Him right through the trouble, and God will show Himself strong on your behalf. What a blessing it is. Do you know that Satan comes, the Bible says, as a thief? He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We're robbing ourselves when we take our hearts and our minds off our Lord. We stop praising Him and we start grumbling about what God has allowed into our lives. Boy, if He loved me, He wouldn't allow this. We literally rob ourselves. The children of Israel, they're going to the promised land. God said, "I'm going to take you from Egypt. I'm going to take you into the promised land. It's going to be yours. It's a land flowing with milk and honey." When the children of Israel, a little longer than a year trip, get to the nation of Israel, get right to the border, what do they say? "God's brought us out here to kill us in the desert. We're not going into the promised land. Our children are going to be bait for these people." They didn't believe God. What was the result? 39 more years in the desert. That whole generation had to die off, and then God took their children, who God said was going to kill, God took their children into the promised land. Folks, you literally rob yourself when you let the joy of the Lord go out of your heart. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your what? It's your strength. It's where the power flows. When we begin to doubt the Lord, Satan's robbing us. He loves it when we doubt the Lord. When we say, "Man, if God loved me, He wouldn't let my wife treat me that way, or my husband, or my children, or my parents." God does love you, and He allows those things, He says, for your good. Do you believe Him? I believe Him when things are going good. But when things start going bad, I'm not quite so sure now. And that's when Satan steps in. We talked about Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the steps with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night." How much trouble did you save yourself when all your friends were going out and getting drunk all the time and you said, "No, I'm not going"? When your friends began to get high on pot, just after my class graduated in 65, 2 years later, marijuana and other hard drugs came into St. Charles. I didn't know anybody in high school that was using that stuff. But 2 years later, that became the hub in the entire Michigan area, St. Charles. How many of our friends began to do it and to literally destroy their lives? I felt blessed because I said, "No, I'm not going there." Folks, you can save yourself all kinds of trouble and have a blessed life. So the reactions of a man who or a woman who really trusts the Lord when trouble comes, we're not exempt from trouble. But when trouble comes, how does a man or woman of faith react? And what's the difference in it? In verses 1 through 3, Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3, we see David in real trouble. He says, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips." I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. David is running from King Saul. David has been told by the prophet, you are going to be the next king. But Saul didn't want him to be the next king. Saul had the entire Israelite army after David. And they weren't going to say, David, you shouldn't want to be king. They were going to kill him. As David writes this psalm, he's hiding in a cave. They're after him. And David makes that cave a cathedral. You know, you don't have to be in a church to praise the Lord. You don't have to be anyplace special. The assembly line, where I used to work at Plant Two Saginaw Steering Gear, became a cathedral many times. I was able, as I was assembling stuff, at the same time to praise my Lord. When I ran the transfer lines at Plant Two, I was able to sing songs as I'm running that machine because nobody could hear me. The machinery was so loud, and they were glad they couldn't hear me. But unconditional praise. Do you only praise the Lord when things are going good? Or do you have a habit in your life of praising the Lord for everything that he allows into your life? Psalm 34, verse 1 again says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Now, folks, that word extol comes from a root word that means to kneel. Can you see David in that cave with his hands kneeling down, his hands in the air, praising God, even as they're after him to kill him? Folks, David has a promise from God. The promise is what? David, you're the next king. Can anybody kill David? The answer is no. God has an appointment for him. When the Lord got in that boat with the 12 apostles, and he said, we're going to go from here, we're going to the other side of the lake, and a huge storm comes up, can anything stop them from going from here to the other side of the lake? The Lord said, we're going. It's a done deal, folks. God has promised you, I'm going to get you home safe. Yes, there may be storms in life and all kinds of trials in life, but God's given us a promise.
Well, look, one axle fallen in the river.
Yep, they did. Well, the head of the axes went in the river, yep. But the Lord wants you to extol him at all times, not just when things are going good, because things are not always going to go good. But if God gives you a promise, he'll work it for your good, all the trouble he allows. I hope you understand as a Christian, nothing can touch your life unless it comes through your Father's hand. And if your Father allows it, it's for your good. It's for the good of your children. It's for the good of everybody you know. Folks, our God loves us. Nothing can touch us unless he allows it. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, he says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you get sick next week, hopefully you won't, but if you do, is the Holy Spirit still praising the Father and the Son? He is. And if you're filled with the Spirit, guess what you're going to do next week if you get sick? You're going to praise the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Why? Because you simply believe God. You take God at his word, and you decide, I'm going to praise the Lord in every situation. In Psalm 1:1, David said, blessed is the one who does not walk in the steps of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Folks, it's so important for us to understand God wants us to walk with him, not to get sidetracked by those that are going a different way. We all know Christians. I've got a good friend. I love this friend. But life got a little hard, quite hard, But he decided, I'm not walking with the Lord anymore. Folks, don't go with those people. They're shooting themselves in the foot. They're literally robbing themselves. When life gets hard, we have to admit God's up to something. There's something just beyond. If I just stay faithful, God's going to bless me in this. But you have to stay faithful. When we fall away, we're literally allowing Satan to rob us of the blessings God has for us. In Psalm 34:2, he says, I will glory in the Lord, let the afflicted hear and rejoice. When you're still praising the Lord in the midst of your pain, and other people are having pain too, they're going to want to know why you are praising the Lord. It's going to touch other lives because you're not the only one suffering. Psalm 34, verse 3. Glory the Lord, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. David turned a terrible situation because Saul wasn't kidding. Saul was going to put him to death. But David turned that situation into a time to praise the Lord. So if he can do that, you and I, with the situations of life we hit, we can choose to do it too. If Paul and Silas, after being whipped, put in the stocks, can praise the Lord, you and I can too. And when we do that, we see God move. One of those 7,000 plus wonderful promises is Romans 8:28. Next time you hit a problem, quote this verse to yourself. Memorize it. Think about it. He says, we know. And the sad thing is we don't know. When Christians come into trouble, we don't remember that our God in all things works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Charles Spurgeon said in reference to David's praise, if we continually roll this dainty morsel under our tongue, the bitterness of daily affliction would be swallowed up in joy. Because our God is always up to something. He doesn't let his children suffer for nothing. When you had your children, when your children were young, did you ever let somebody hurt them if you could stop it? The only time we didn't is when we would take him to the doctor to get a shot to prevent a serious illness. We knew it was going to hurt, but because we loved him, we didn't want him getting smallpox or something else if we could help it. And so, yes, we allowed our children to be hurt. And our Heavenly Father is more loving than I ever have been, and he won't allow anything to touch you unless he's going to work it for your good. So instead of dwelling on our circumstances that are seemingly against us, the Bible says, if God's for you, who can be against you? And the answer is nobody successfully, because everything they try to do to get you, God's going to work for your good. And so we don't have to worry about other people. So the psalm that David wrote here is written in the midst of trouble. Lewis Albert Banks tells him an elderly Christian man who was a fine singer. He loved to sing for his Lord. But they found out he had cancer of the tongue. And they took him in for surgery. And they had told him before he went into surgery, after the surgery, you will never sing again. So the Christian singer said to the doctor just before they operated, is it really true I'll never sing again? And the doctor teared up and just shook his head. You'll never sing again. So the man said, if you got just a minute, I'd like to sit up and I'd like to sing this song. So he said, I've had many good times of singing and praising God. And now you tell me I'll never sing again. I have one song that will be my last. It'll be one of gratitude and praise to God. There in the doctor's presence, the man sang softly the words of Isaac Watts' hymn. I'll praise my Maker while I have breath, and when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler power. My days of praise shall never be past, while life and thought and being last, or immortality endures. The cave experiences of our lives, and we all go through them, should never silence our praise. It should vibrate off the walls of whatever's causing our suffering. Our Lord wants us to have a recourse to adversity, and that recourse is talked about in verses 4 through 6 of Psalm 34. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him, and He saved him out of all his troubles. Folks, your face can be radiant because you're expecting God to move in your life. When you don't expect God to move, we get depressed. We start to grumble and we start to complain about life. But as Christians, we don't have to go there. We can be excited because God is always doing a new thing. So I heard the story of a single woman that was going to the mission field. And on her final day at her church, a lady walked up to her and gave her an envelope. And the lady said to this new missionary going off to the field, "If you ever get to a point in your life where you don't have anybody to turn to for help, open this envelope." The woman was on the mission field for 30 years, came back off the mission field, and at her church, she held up that envelope that had never been opened. And she said, "There's never been a time on my field of mission when the Lord didn't answer and meet every need I had." Folks, we can say the same thing, can't we? There's never been a time when the Lord hasn't met the needs that I have. Not always the wants, but always the needs. He's taken care of me now almost 78 years. He's going to take care of me however many more years I have on this earth, and then He's going to take me to heaven. The Lord heard David. He said, "I sought the Lord, and He heard me." And in verse 6, He said, "This poor man called, and the Lord heard him." The Lord, all capitals, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's the name Jehovah. That's the creating God. It's YHVH in the original Hebrew language. It's four letters, the tetragrammaton. The name speaks of God as eternal and the self-existing one and the one who has all power. There's nothing our God can't do. He can take away pain in the night. He can answer for health for your children. He can give you back your health. He can supply that job that you need. There's nothing too hard for our Lord. Our Lord wants to be there for us. On June 22nd, 1535, John Fisher was beheaded on the Tower Hill of London. He was so weak and emaciated from being in prison for 14 months that he couldn't walk to the scaffold to have his head cut off. They had to carry him to the scaffold. As he got carried to the scaffold, he gained some strength. And he walked up those steps alone, and he said, "Those who look to Him," he quoted this verse, "those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame." As he said those words, they cut off his head. Folks, we can rejoice in the Lord. No matter what's going on in our life, God has a plan for it. There's nothing vain, nothing useless that ever happens to a Christian. As we trust God in His Word, we'll have the strength we need to keep praising Him through every situation of life. In Psalm 31, verse 1, "In You, Lord, I've taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in Your righteousness." And some people would say this man we just read about, John Fisher, was put to shame. He had his head cut off. No, he wasn't put to shame. What happened to John Fisher 1 second after they cut his head off? He's in glory. Folks, they can't do anything to you that's going to harm you. Will it hurt? You bet it'll hurt. But it's for your good. There's a time when our life on this earth is over. We all say, well, I sure hope it's old age and I hope it doesn't hurt. But if God has a different plan, are you okay with God to be in charge of your life? Because if you're not okay with God being in charge of your life, He's not Lord. Lord means you're in charge. I'm not. This is not my life anymore. This is your life. And once you start living that way, you can praise the Lord no matter what happens in your life. Some of you remember the story of Sergeant Elvin York. York's biography entitled Sergeant York, His Life, Legend, and Legacy. We find a story written that's quite impressive to me. He was a part of the Battle of Argonne Forest during World War I, and York was Company G. They made their way to the front line, and things became more and more grisly the closer they got to the very front of the line. There were dead men and horses. This is First World War. This is not tanks. This is not big artillery. This is horse time. And there were dead horses and dead men all around. York prayed as he went because he was a Christian. He said, O Jesus, the great rock of foundation, whereupon my feet were set with sovereign grace, though shells or death with all their agitation, thou wilt protect me if I only trust in thy grace. Bless thy holy name. Later that same day, Sergeant York, in an amazing feat of bravery, captured 3 officers and 129 enlisted men, single-handedly. He went to his company commander, the General Lindsay, and General Lindsay said, Well, York, I hear that you captured the whole blank German army. And York said, No, sir, I got 132. Later that night, he went back to the camp and he said, God help me out. He wrote this in his diary. So you can see here in this case of mine where God helped me out. I had been living for God and working in the church sometime before I came to the army. So I'm a witness to the fact that God did help me out of that hard battle. For the bushes were all shot up around me and I never got a scratch. If you want to see God strong on your behalf, if you want to see God take your trouble and turn it into a blessing, here's another verse you must memorize. 1 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the whole earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. You've done a foolish thing, and from now on you'll be at war. The Lord sent a prophet to tell the king that if he would trust God, he was going to be victorious. But the king didn't believe God. Folks, we rob ourselves when we don't believe the promises of God. When we believe the promises of God, God will go and show himself strong on our behalf. He'll turn all those negative things to plus things. God says, don't receive the grace of God in vain. How do you receive the grace of God in vain? When you don't trust the promise. Children of Israel, I'm taking you out of captivity in Egypt. I'm taking you into the promised land. No, God can't do that. You just robbed yourself. They robbed a whole generation. The Apostle Paul's in prison being whipped, and they're praising God, believing God's going to do something great. What happens? The jailer gets saved. His whole family gets saved. Why? Simply because Paul believed the Lord and the Lord showed himself strong on his behalf. The Lord's no respecter of persons. If you and I will learn to trust him when the bottom drops out, and the bottom will drop out of our lives, he'll show himself strong on our behalf too. In Psalm 34, verse 7, remember, David's in the cave. He's fearing for his life. He says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Do you believe God can deliver you from any situation you're in? If you do, praise him. It's wonderful. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. He wants you to trust him. And when you do, he'll show himself strong on your behalf too. Psalm 38:4. Taste and see the Lord is good. In other words, the next time trouble hits, trust the Lord for a change. Don't grumble, don't grout, don't complain. Trust the Lord, praise Him in prayer, maybe even tell a friend, I've really got a problem here, but I'm praising the Lord. I believe He's going to bring me out. Watch what God will do. It's amazing how He works. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. Again, you're going to be happy. Was David happy when he got out of that cave and the Lord made him king? You bet he was. Was Saul and his friend happy, Silas, when the Lord took him out of jail and they got to lead that jailer to the Lord? You bet they were happy. But they had to praise the Lord first. The Lord wants to give you a complete life. He wants to remake your life so that you're more and more and more like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never doubted the Father. He always believed the Father wanted what was best for Him, even when it was time to go to the cross. Jesus said, Father, if it's possible, remove this cup from me, but not as I will, but as you will. When we start complaining, it's because we're no longer saying, Your will be done. We're saying, My will be done, and I want it now. That's not a good place to be. That's where Satan has a heyday. In Psalm 34, verse 9, Fear the Lord, you His holy people, for those who fear Him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And so if there's something the Lord's saying, I'm not going to give to you, guess what that means? It wouldn't be good for you. When my children were little and they asked for a bicycle at the three-year-old level, I had to tell them no. Not because I didn't want to give them a bike, but physically they're not ready for a bike at three. I said, we'll get you a tricycle. You'll have a lot of fun on your tricycle. But I want a bike. My older brother has a bike and I can't get it. But you're not ready. Folks, the only reason the Lord doesn't give us the desires of our heart is either sin in our lives or we're not ready for it. He won't withhold anything that's good for us. We need to wait on the Lord. In Psalm 23:1, it says, The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Every good thing the Lord wants to give us. Our Lord wants us to learn how to be contented. In Psalm 34:8, Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. In the Metropolitan Museum in New York City is a monument to Edgar Allan Poe. He was one of the great poets of long ago. On it are inscribed the words, He was great in genius, unhappy in life, wretched in death, but in fame he's immortal. What a shame to be a genius and yet not enjoy life. Folks, when you walk through this life without the Lord, you're not going to have the joy of the Lord in your heart. There are going to be times when life is going to seem so against you. But when you walk in the Lord, even though things might seem to be against you, you have the precious promises of God. He'll work it for your good. He's going to bless people because of it. In Proverbs 15, verse 15, all the days of the oppressed are wretched. Some people think they're oppressed when they're not really oppressed. And their whole life goes by, and they think it's all against me. All the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fatted calf with hatred. Folks, we don't have to worry about how much and when. Our God is going to give us every good thing in His time. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:11, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Let me ask you, have you learned the secret yet of being content whatever the situation? I got to tell you the truth, I'm still learning it. I'm doing better. But there are still times when life blindsides me and I become a complainer and a grumper. It shouldn't be, but my faith is still growing too, and I hope yours is growing. I hope it's less and less of the grumbling and complaining and more of the rejoicing and praising, because that's when God does His greatest works. When life seems to be against us, God is for us. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. He'll make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun." Do you know why so many people don't find joy in the Lord? Because they think God's holding out. Instead of delighting in the Lord, and then He'll give the desires of your heart, what are people delighting in? They're delighting in the new car I want, the new house I want, the new boat I want, whatever it is, and they're not delighting in the Lord. When you delight yourself in the Lord, what does the Lord give you? Does He give you the car, the house, the boat, whatever? Sometimes. But what He gives you is intimacy with Him. He gives you His full attention and His full love. And then it doesn't matter about the things anymore. Things are nice. We all enjoy those things. God says He's given us richly all things to enjoy. But we're never to let those things become more important than our relationship. In Isaiah 33:6, this is another verse I just got to tell you. This is one you ought to know. He'll be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. When you learn the reverential awe for God, all those things are yours. He'll be the foundation for your life. When trouble hits, you'll be able to rejoice. Because why? Because the Lord is your foundation. And that's never going to be shaken. The things of this life are all temporary. We can enjoy them for a while, but every good thing God has ever given you, God's taken it back. I hope you understand that. That way you don't hang on so tight. When the Lord takes something away, learn to open your hands because He's going to give you something else. Folks, life, all this life, isn't meant to be where our hearts go. Our hearts are recentered in Christ. And when it is, when trouble hits, we simply go back to that same source of joy we've known for the last 20, 30, 50, 60, 70 years. He's not going to change. He's never going to fail you. He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and nothing is out of His control. Father, we can't thank You enough. Just like You were faithful with David, just like You did exactly what You told him You were going to do, the same exact thing is true for us. None of Your words are going to fall to this earth without effect. You've promised us joy in this life, hope in this life, and eternal life. And nothing and nobody can take that away. Father, help us to trust in You. Help us to keep praising You and giving thanks in every circumstance. And then, Lord, we'll truly have a blessed life. And we'll give You the praise in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.